You're listening to that blessed and highly flavored podcast. It's only because a nigga bless.
Hey, hey, hey now. Welcome back to Black Girl Couch Reviews. I'm your host, Christina. We are back for another episode of Stars' Counterpoint, Season 1, Episode 2, Birds of a Feather. This episode premiered January 28th of 2016, written by Justin Marks, directed by Stephen Williams, who was the director of Lost. This episode, I gave a 9.4 out of 10. The actress that plays Baldwin slash Nadia, I wrote it down a little bit later in my notes, is phenomenal. She carried this episode so very well. I am rooting for this assassin more than anyone else. And J.K. Simmons is doing a phenomenal job thus far. Those are the two characters that are really selling me right now on this show. And then the last about 15 minutes where we get Steven Rhea, aka the Pope, talking about how peace ain't quite as peaceful as it seems. So we definitely have more interesting conflict coming up. So we start the episode with Emily, who has lower clearance apparently than Howard, as they're still meeting at the bar from last episode. Howard the gangster says that, hey, you're here for a reason, and there's two Bulgarian guys here that clearly are trying to take me in. What's up? She says there's a rendition order out on him, and he says it's bullshit because someone is trying to take me out. She does not believe him, and he is taken into custody. I really love when he went outside and he put in his headbuds. Nice touch. Because, yeah, if you shoot a gun in a closed space, you're going to have some ear damage, eardrum damage from the ricochet. So him preparing himself, putting them earbuds in and just kind of putting his hands up, letting them take him into custody. He shows her, I don't have a gun, just so you know. And he murks them fools because he knows what's up. She also wants to know why he's crossing, and he tells her,
mind your damn business, bitch!
She gets told that several times by a lot of people in this episode. Also, she is the ex-wife of Howard the Gangster. We have two Howards. His name is Howard Silk, but there's Howard the Gangster and Howard the Meek. That's what I will associate them to differentiate. But they are not currently married, nor does it seem like it was a happy divorce. He goes home to his own apartment that looks a hell of a lot like our Howard the Meek's apartment. Gets a knock on the door from his man, Rosh, who comes with his dog, who has the neighbor's blood on him, and apparently that's okay, to provide the name of Baldwin. Her name is Nadia Ferrero, which disappoints him because he says the kid, who is that, we don't know, is fucking around and needs to do better. And he says, Rosh that is, that Pope wants to see him. So clearly, we have Howard the gangster working with the Pope, even though he denies all affiliation later on. They're on some top level clearance type stuff. Steven Rhea, as I stated earlier, plays the Pope. They meet in a church. He makes a comment about how people used to worship here, and now this is basically just shrines to dead people. So that's some interesting context. We also learned that he has prostate cancer, and he is the one that provides Howard the Gangster, aka HG, with a 36-hour visa. He also allows his little puppy fluffy dog to shit on the church floor, but I was okay with it since the one dude picked it up. As for Warren, Emily goes to work the next day, and she is addressed by her boss. I forgot his name, but I know it's Chimney from 911. I was like, Chim! And there's personnel there as well, giving her eyes, and she's giving her the fuck you expression back. Those three contractors that were killed, yeah. Why were they killed? They were assigned to you. I had a rendition order. No, the fuck you didn't. So, as suspected, Because the Pope says, if you go into work tomorrow, two things are going to happen. Either you're going to be brought in for killing those three people, or someone's going to try to cover their tracks and pretend it did not happen, which is exactly what happened. The assassination attempt was covered up. Over on Howard the Meek's side, Nadia is still there. She is at a cottage doing some facial bullet removal. Like, girl, yo tenacity. I don't know if I would be able to walk around. I mean, I'm guessing that the bullet didn't go through her face. Clearly, it just ricocheted. Because at first I thought he shot her in the fucking face. But no, it was fragments of a bullet that she removed. Howard the Gangster gets over to meet with Aldrich and Quayle. Howard the Meek is requested after he has been promoted to analysis. Because he's like, last episode, if you need me, I want a promotion. He still has no clue what the fuck is going on, even in his current job. Because they're like, hey, translate this with very minimum direction. And they're treating him like he did not earn his spot there. And it's because he did not. I mean, he did, but this company is very ageist, is what I am getting. He is taken to a concert theater where Howard the Gangster is listening to an orchestra play. Turns out Nadia, too, is a violinist. HM wants to know what HG does exactly for a living, and he says, I work for Retrieval. I get people who have crossed to your side that don't belong and bring them back to our side. Why is people escaping from your side is a very good question. I don't think we have the answer to that yet. When the portal happens, so he's explaining how this divide, because I'm thinking this is kind of like a parallel universe, but it is, but it isn't. He explains that when the portal happened, it was an accident. It wasn't something that, you know, because Howard the Meek says when we created it, he's like, there was no intention. We created a duplicate reality. So we started very close to each other. And then there's 30 years that happened. Like, first there was one, then 30 years happened and there was two. And then since then, we've been getting further and further away from each other. So I like that explanation on what exactly we're dealing with. It's equally charming how both men have the same shirt on, except Howard the Gangster is clowning Howard the Meek, talking about, why you got that white shirt on underneath it? And he's like, look, I have a sweat and stain problem. You know, I don't like sweat to get on this nice ass shirt. So yeah, my wife, Emily, bought this white shirt for me, and that's why you don't have it, because you and her on the other side have fallen out. We meet the version of Nadia, who is clearly a musical progeny, as she finally arrives late at the concert hall, gives a really great performance, but there's a noticeable trait. She takes her shoes off. She did the exact same thing in the hospital. I thought at the time it was just to be smart, not running in heels, but it's much deeper, and I love how they layered that. Baldwin gets a visit at the place she's holed up at from a person named Claire. I only know this because of X-ray. Who she is, I have no idea, but she clearly works with Baldwin Baldwin works for her. She says, look, you've been tracked. That Howard the Gangster is over here. He's been a problem for a while, but he's come to retrieve your ass. Here's the address to your duplicate. I need you to kill her because you know it's going to be problematic that they are going to find her and use her to get to you. Claire asks if this is going to be a problem, and she says, I don't care about that bitch. Flashback very quickly shows an abusive father who forced a young Nadia to play violin to perfection with no shoes. Howard the Gangster is constantly trashing not only Aldrich and his team, but all of housekeeping. Apparently, they're the ones that are supposed to keep everyone in line. When he has to ask for shit twice, He's like, you guys got any ketamine, anything that I can drug her with or get her to start talking? You don't keep this shit on you. Why do I, every time I ask you for something, you always looking at your other man and acting like it's a problem when you know clearly we're working on the same thing together? Even if you don't trust me, can you not be a bitch about it? Like, go about whatever you're gonna do to distrust me. But clearly Quail is saying the operation is going forward. But maybe Aldrich knows something I don't, because he, for someone as stalwart as he is, seems to be very cautious around, not cautious, but he's like extra sensitive about not trusting Howard the gangster. So he goes to the bar where Nadia is drinking herself to death. I mean, girl can take some shots. Emily, meanwhile, back over on the other side, got herself a chocolate man named Ian, again, X-ray, who is introduced digging all up in her kidneys and telling her not to poke the bear about being suspended or told to take time off, because whatever her ex is into, someone is covering themselves and they don't want her looking. And the more she keeps trying to look, the more she's going to put heat on herself. So they both agree, fuck it. Howard the gangster shows how good he is at his job of being an agent by pretending to be a U.S. father whose daughter, which he had looked at the names on the concert list, and pretends that he's coming to see her, but clearly the daughter doesn't want to see him, and it falls right into getting Nadia to open up about her own father. They exchange drinks, and it turns out that her father was a failed artist and an alcoholic who put all of his dreams into his daughter, but was not a nice man about it. She reveals that she never did anything with her childhood home, that it's still out somewhere. She has the deed for it. So because Howard the Meek plus Aldrich and his team went over to Nadia's apartment to find any clues, he's able to call him and say, hey, can you check this other spot? It's 20 minutes away. Howard the Meek is watching them go through this woman's stuff and asks, what is tossing her underwear got to do with anything? Because I still don't understand what the hell is going on. And you guys are not trying to keep me informed whatsoever. And Aldrich says that you don't think I can't learn anything about him by looking at you, referencing Howard the gangster. You share more than you think. Case in point, both women tap their hands from their trauma. Baldwin is watching as they leave Nadia's apartment and she goes in afterwards. We find out some more personal information. Seems Nadia is gay. We kind of got that inclination earlier, possibly because she's changing directly in front of Claire and does not wear a bra. I would love to have that life. I mean, look, I am a 36 double D. I would love to have some little bitties that I can just walk around without a bra on and be comfortably happy about it, if that's my prerogative, which it would be most of the time because I hate bras. But I can't get away with that, so I was hella jealous. She is able to find where Nadia is currently at the concert hall by looking at her calendar. There was another interesting point where they found some pills in the cabinet and then Aldrich was telling his man, like, no, that's for arthritis. Put that shit back. But then they weren't doing a really good job of tossing up her place and putting things back to begin with, because I saw one guy pick up something and just toss it. And I'm like, are you trying to tell her someone was in her apartment? They go to the childhood home and there they find evidence that Baldwin has been there, and so they rush back to the concert hall. Baldwin is already there assessing the scene, sees that there are already people outside the bar, so she calls 911 and says two men are dead and a woman is being held hostage in the bar. Then proceeds to take out both men in the car by casually getting in the back seat and slitting both their throats before they even know what the hell is going on.
I'm a boss ass bitch, 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 bitch.
Howard the gangster still in the bar is asking more of Nadia about why she stuck with the violin after such a traumatic past. He admits that I did hear you a little bit earlier when I snuck in to see if my daughter was there. And she remarks that she can't escape who you are, even though she was free and had several foster families where she may have made a life for herself. Or it does seem as if she has constructed a life for herself. She's very fancy, as Baldwin calls her, with her nice pretty clothes. She's got money, she's got fame, she's got a girlfriend, she's got everything that makes her life look as if it went the right way, but internally that's not how she feels. And that's why she makes the remark about you can't escape who you are. Flashback at the train station, Dad is making her play for money while he drinks. He ends up falling on the tracks and he's like, help me, get someone to help me. And she watches her father die.
I'm
And at the time, I think she felt really vindicated by this, but the guilt is eating her alive because of it. Presently, police arrive and simply take Nadia. They crash that damn bar. They didn't ask no questions. The HG and the other guy put up their hands. He even gets rid of his weapon. I mean, I like that they're smart. The action is really well constructed and thought out. Maybe we should get Justin Marks to start writing some episodes of Westworld, because they definitely need some assistance right now for season 4. So they go in, take Nadia. Baldwin has put on a ski mask, kills the cops that have her, but when it's time to pull the trigger on her doppel, she cannot do it and decides to take her instead, kills a few more officers or wounds them, runs into the concert hall. We have HG on her heels, followed very shortly behind by Aldridge and his housekeeping squad. HG is wanting her alive, which HM hears because he's told to stay his ass in the car. But when he finds out that, hey, they probably gonna kill this woman or someone could possibly be killed, he runs in to try to help, but I don't know what kind of help he was supposed to be other than the shout. I wouldn't want to be left in the car either. It didn't almost stop me from catching a bullet last time, so might as well be in the thick of it. Eventually, she corners herself, Nadia that is, with Baldwin in a room, or I should say Baldwin with Nadia, and she exposes her face. And I love the reaction. She just kind of smiles, Nadia that is. And it's like, I must be going crazy. And she tries to riff on her, Baldwin that is. Look at you and your fancy shit. She offers to pay her. And she's like, look, both of us watched him die. And only one of us seems to be suffering for that. Because she says, you are my true face. And it's revealed that no, Baldwin isn't suffering alone, that not her and Nadia are more alike than she thought, as she reveals that she has been cutting herself, or reveals on Nadia's arm. Just then, the squad comes through, things pop off. We have Nadia escaping because, of course, this woman just killed a whole bunch of people. I don't care if she looks like me. I don't know you. And she runs off. Again, the actress is Sarah Saracchio. I probably said that wrong, but she's amazing. Right when the police are coming through, Aldrich says, look, we need to wrap this up. His hitman says, I don't have a positive ID. He's like, I don't give a fuck. Take the shot. And he does and tells him to disappear. That's when HG finds HM and says, we gotta go. But not before HM and Baldwin do stare at each other, and she had to have heard him try to stop what was about to happen. And she goes to her doppel and just sits there with her, because in a way she really brought this on her. as sloppy as the operation was, as much as Aldrich making the declaration, I'm going to take her out, she did kill quite a few of, I mean, she is an assassin. As much as I'm rooting for her more than I'm ever rooting for Aldrich at this point, ultimately, Nadia's death is on Baldwin, because they were just going to study her, and that bullet was not really meant for the innocent. It was meant for her. And yeah, she could have just left her ass on the street and maybe, just maybe, she would have survived. But no, she needed to confront her. It still was sad because she was all crying and I didn't want her to get arrested. Back at Howard the Meek's apartment, when Aldrich arrives, he punches him in the face for killing an innocent. And everyone is surprised by this. I was even more surprised by the fact that the other housekeeper, or Aldrich himself, did not slap him back, but they just got him to a chair like, okay, settle down, old man. Did you catch Howard the Gangster's look, though? While he ain't throwing punches, at least physical one, he's still throwing shots, saying this was amateur hour tonight and y'all are some fuck ups. I can't believe how shitty a job y'all do. And Aldrich is like, look, we've dealt with worse than a crosser being in police custody. And he's like, oh, okay, apparently on your side, this is okay. And he tells him, despite the fact that Howard the Meek and Howard the Gangster are totally cool with each other sharing the same apartment, that he's gonna put him up somewhere else. And he's like, no, I'm staying here. Aldrich is like, you gonna do what I say. Gangster's like, I don't fucking work for you. And that's when Aldrich says, look, you and Quail, y'all can play ball all you want to. I'm not playing ball with you. I know what you are. What does that mean? I don't know. But he does back off and leaves two agents outside the door and allows Gangster to stay. Gangster says, I'm sorry about tonight. It was really a fuck up and I need you to help me. So I'm going to have you transfer to strategy once I talk to Quail, and that way you can spy for me. Turns out HG wanted HM with him all along because he looked at Howard the Meek and said, this your life? This ain't it. I need you to rise from the sleepwalker to the actual show. And that's when Howard the Meek says, stop trying to make me into your fucking image. We're not the same. He then leaves and Howard the Gangster's like, where are you going? He's like, where I've been for the last fucking 6 weeks. My wife, who's still in a coma, recall? I know Gangster was salty. He had the beers out. He thought they was gonna have a bromance. He also has to sleep on the couch because apparently he has an extra bedroom in the house that he uses for nothing but storage. And Howard the Gangster was very surprised by this. He's also making up the couch. I have never in a day in my life made up a couch. I just realized that. When people sleep on my couch, they sleep on, here's a blanket, here's a pillow. And that's if I'm giving you the pillow. You might just be sleeping on the couch pillow. Is that probably not the best? Everyone's family. No one sleeps over my house that's not family. And maybe that's the reason why. But yeah, I've never did that much to ever make up a couch. We then have Emily on the other side meeting up with Pope using her ex's signal plan, which he is not too happy about. He's like, maybe we should have our own because I don't like you doing this. Clearly still trying to pry into what Howard the Gangster is into. And she's like, usually I wouldn't care, but they're trying to pin that shit on me. And he's like, let me give you some advice, like everyone else is trying to tell you. Leave it alone. Leave it alone. Yeah, I decided to sing. But no, she's like, I'm going to try this thing called I Know Some Stuff. I know that someone crossed. I know that it's an agent. And he's like, I heard some rumors too. Like, there's an OA housekeeper under investigation for substance abuse. Shots fired. I said, girl, you better get your ass up this damn church. He is not playing about the shade he is throwing your way. He has literally told her, it's not your business. Get the fuck out. Why do you even care? Whatever their friendship, if they ever had one, it's better now. She wants to keep the peace between both sides. And he remarks, was there ever really peace after what they did? What did our side or Howard the Meek side do? And then he says, have you ever wondered if there would be a reckoning possibly on the horizon? And she gets up and says, how's your health? He's like, better. She says, too bad. And that is how we leave the episode. And I'm like, oh, I really wanted episode 3 ASAP. So that wraps up episode 2. Overall, great performances, really great action. Excited to see where this show goes. And I'm glad that the second episode was much more engaging than the first. For counterparts, send that to blackgirlcouch@gmail.com, or you can leave a comment below on this podcast. You can find this podcast, Black Girl Couch Reviews, wherever good podcasts are found. My social medias will also be below. Remember to like, share, subscribe, and if you have time, leave a comment on iTunes. It does help the podcast get some attention. Until the next time, peace, hair grease, and black girl magic.